To speak of God and things transcendent, we are always limited to metaphors, allegories, and symbols. No language will ever be adequate to describe the holy. Jesus was masterful in using everyday familiar things that could be understood as solid clues that reliably point toward the nature and essence of an entirely indefinable and ineffable God. In today's scripture from the Gospel of John, Jesus is meeting with his disciples for what he knows will be the last time. He wants to sum up all they have seen and heard these last 3 years and leave them with a way forward. Once again, he turns to a brilliant metaphor that is so vivid that it becomes a primary lens that can focus our understanding of who Jesus actually is and how we are able to stay connected to the invisible, transcendent flow of spirit. Hear these words of Jesus from the Gospel of John, chapter 15. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. The word of God leading us to be a people of God.
In the great ebb and flow of life, you know, when I'm feeling at those low points of despair, then I look at these children and I see their bright faces, and it just is like an amazing thing to renew and just return me to that balance. It's great. During this month of October, Jean and I have been zeroing in on a phrase that's taken from the vision statement that God has given us, which is God is calling Tricon Church to be a nurturing community of faith that honors God through service and through mission. Exactly what do we mean when we say service and mission? What can we learn through Scripture that might help us to be more intentional about our approach to service and mission? Will you pray with me? God of love, plant in us in the soil of your grace. Nurture us with the strength of Christ, the vine of everlasting life. Enlighten us with the wisdom of your Spirit, which flows through us today. Abide in us, that we may abide in you and live in your love. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I love a clear metaphor, especially in Scripture. One you don't have to wrestle with, it's just right there. It's very clear, it's easy to follow. An allegory that hits the nail firmly on the head. Do you remember that famous anti-drug public service announcement from years ago where a man is standing in a kitchen and he's holding an egg. Remember that guy? And he looks deeply into the lens and he says, "This is your brain." Then he throws the egg in a sizzling frying pan. He says, "This is your brain on drugs. Any questions?" Remember that one? Great, great metaphor, correct? Any questions? Well, perhaps not as dramatic. Jesus also offers us this clear metaphor as well this morning. "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. Every branch that in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Every branch that does not bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit." Any questions? Go in peace. If you were raised around gardens, like I was, and farms and so forth, you learned very young the wisdom of pruning. You knew that that was a correct thing to do. And I think what's happening is that Jesus is clearly teaching us that if you truly want to grow into the fullness of life, the authentic life that God created you uniquely and personally to be, it's essential that we stay connected to the source of all life. This is where we draw our strength and find our vitality, being connected to the source of all life. In fact, Jesus says, apart from that, you can do nothing. Apart from absorbing the spiritual nutrition that flows freely from the deep root structure and that thick vine, apart from that, you can do nothing. Powerless. "You have one job," he says, "bear the fruit of the vine." And then he expands this idea by saying, "Abide in me. Abide in my love." Abide is a great word. Remember the dude abides? It's a great, great word. I love it. What it means is to remain, to stay, to linger. There's a real ease about it, isn't there? If there is any urgency that comes up as we're abiding, it's not up to the branch to resolve it. That's the gardener's job. And all we need to do is to linger, abide in the love of Jesus. Sounds great, doesn't it? Well, to be quite honest, my problem is that I really want to be the gardener. I want to be that landscape architect, the one who takes care of his world, is in charge of his world. And I don't think I'm alone in that. From an early age, we are taught that we can write our own life story. A triumphant tale of courage that overcomes every obstacle we face. A story where bravery endures any loss and stoic willpower can neutralize any pain. For some of us, there might even be a chapter in that story where we successfully learn to compensate for our untreatable disability, only to emerge stronger and wiser. We're told that through our own relentless efforts at self-improvement and unwavering self-discipline, we will only learn to make good choices all the time. I was told that I actually had the power and the agency to become the hero of my own story, and I bought it. Many of us who are white and privileged buy it. And what's worse, we think that this is the narrative that God wants us to write. It's an easy sell. We were given this privilege, this education, and this position in society to make a difference in this world. It's our obligation to help the poor. It's our duty to serve the needy for the sake of God. So we get real busy. We get busy doing the holy work, toiling as hard as we can in the garden of service and mission. But that's not what Jesus is saying here at all. He's saying that if you really want to bear the holy fruit, if you really want to do the holy work, put down those heavy tools and let the gardener be in charge. It's our primary job is to stay connected to the source of all things. Our one job is to turn our energy and attention into abiding in God's love. Because only then, will we begin to really know how to love one another the way that God loves us. Jesus said, "These things I have spoken to you, so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be full." Joy is how we know we are connected firmly to the vine. That inner joy. And I remember when we were looking at worship last month, joy was the indicator of a vibrant worship. It turns out that this entire project is not at all about burdensome duty or the frenzied fulfillment of exhaustive obligations. God is not some personal trainer demanding that you push through 10 more reps. It's about finding an unspeakable joy that's ignited when we stay close to Jesus and learn to truly love one another, not fix one another. To linger with Jesus is to experience deep and abiding joy. So that original story arc that drives us towards dogged perfectionism and a relentless struggle to prove our worthiness, we exchange that story for a more authentic one. This is the story of imperfection, of undisciplined weakness, and the extraordinary discovery of humility, a humility that emerges through the agonizing failure. It's a story of the power of grace. It's a new story that undeniably demonstrates beyond any doubt that you are not the hero in this narrative. You are not the gardener. You and I are just another common branch, lingering in the glorious vineyard and bearing only the good fruit that God has created us to bear. This, in this story of grace, it's not an abstraction. This is a story where grace becomes a lived experience. It turns out that God's vision for this church is not at all about how hard we can work for God or how quickly we can check off the tasks of obligation. Jesus says that it's about living into the fullness of his joy. Now, a lot of us will volunteer to come and bring that antique show together. It takes us all. It takes so many hands. But in doing that, it won't be an obligation. You're going to feel the joy. And if you don't come. Because that's just obligation. But I think you'll find as you're here that you will be filled with great joy in fellowship with one another. It's about living into the fullness of God's joy, the joy of his company, the joy of his grace, the joy that comes from loving someone just as they are, not as you think they should be. It's the joy that comes from lifting up God's brand of justice. And even when the inevitable storms and thunder comes rolling in, threatening to defeat us, and failure, we find a joy. It's the edgy joy found in being in solidarity with God's suffering. To honor God through service and mission is to simply be a branch connected to this cosmic vine, a sheep in God's pasture. We honor God through service and mission with Him, in Him, through Him, not for Him. There are no heavenly merit badges to be awarded for our service. No missionary brownie points to be tallied. No productivity honors. There is only the mutuality of grace, perpetually given out and perpetually received, grace upon grace, back and forth. That's it. Tricon Church, when our work together is animated by the fullness of joy that is bubbling up from the depths of our being, we will know that we are truly honoring God through service and mission. Abiding joy is God's reliable and sure marker. That's what we're looking for. So let's put down our gardening tools. Let's linger in the love of Jesus, trusting completely that the fullness of God's abiding joy will always, always bear the sweetest fruit. Amen.